The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A man came up to Jesus, knelt down before him, and said, "Lord, have pity on my son, who is a lunatic and suffers severely. Often he falls into fire and often into water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Jesus said in reply, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him. And from that hour, the boy was cured. Then the disciples approached Jesus in private and said, "Why could we not drive it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. Amen, I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So Moses said to the people in the book of Deuteronomy, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength." And that might be the greatest line in the Bible. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding as to who God is. "You shall love the Lord your God." A lot of misunderstanding. You may want to stop and ask yourself, what is your image of God? Because you can't love a God unless that God is the real God. If your image is not accurate, you're going to find it very hard to advance. So just a little thought, you know, very often people have a misunderstanding of who God is, and this is the cause of much trouble in the spiritual life. A lot of people think of God as being a supreme being, as if there's lots of beings out there and God just happens to be the biggest of them all, right? As if God is in competition with other things, but just happens to come in first, the greatest of all things. That's not who God is. A lot of people think of God as being an abstract good force, as if the devil were a sort of arch nemesis, you know, God's evil opposite. Common misunderstandings, and I hope you already know already, that God fits into no category, that God can be compared with nothing else. God is not one of many things that exist. God is the creator, all else is creation. The Lord our God is Lord alone. And that explains why the biggest word in this commandment from the book of Deuteronomy is therefore. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God. So pray deeply about this. The more you do, the more you're going to realize just how revolutionary it is. Because if you believe in God, therefore, you'll say to yourself, I can put nothing before him. Not comfort, not acceptance, not success, not achievement, not health, not even my own life. That's a very big thing to ask. And because that's such a very big thing to ask, we spend a lot of our time trying to minimize it. To say, well, you know, God really doesn't mean that. And pretty much all sin, pretty much all spiritual failure reduces to this foundational disaster, trying to minimize God. Trying to make God fit into your life. Trying to reduce religion to a task to be completed, to make God part of your life. You have to realize at some point that gets it precisely backwards, as if God could be part of anything, as if God could be part of your life, as if God could be part of your plan instead of the reverse. Until we realize that gets it backwards, we waste a lot of our time and a lot of our energy and a lot of anxiety. Asking questions like, how much of my time should I set aside? How many of my resources should I set aside? My money, my attention, my time, my life. Of course, God gets a slice, and how big should that slice be? That's paganism, you know. That's paganism. If you ever go back and make any kind of a cursory study of some of the ancient Roman, it's incredible. All the polytheistic religions of the world, Mesoamerican, you name it. They made offerings in the temples as if to say, here, God, I'll give you a slice of my grain, or I'll give you a slice of my rams and bullocks. And as part of the bargain, you're going to give me something in exchange. A lot of people, they look at the real God that way. I love the way John Henry Cardinal Newman once put it. He said, the endeavor of most people is not to do God's will, but rather to do their own will without upsetting God too much. And this is not worship, okay? This is not worship. The worship of God means knowing, with St. Therese the Little Flower, that you cannot be half a saint. You're either going to be entirely a saint or you're not going to be a saint at all. Either you're going to do this entirely with your whole life or you're not going to worship God at all. The one thing the Catholic faith can't be is your pastime. The one thing God can't be is your hobby. But there's another big reason why we're partial. And that's not just because it's so hard to fit this all in. It's because, honestly, we don't know what to do to love God. We don't know what to do. Now, I know how to love a baby. I know how to love a friend. I know how to love a spouse. I know how to love a slice of pizza. But I don't know how to love God. Well, four tiny little ways just to help. Just little tiny ways. That could be the subject of an entire retreat. But first, understand that love is a choice. Okay? It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a decision. Love is not the same thing as like, as you know quite well. You can love someone dearly, 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 and have many moments when you don't like them at all. Love means choosing. And what that means with regard to the love of God is it means it's choosing what God would have you do, regardless of how you feel about it. Okay? Making your best effort to act as he would want you to act, as best you understand, even if you get it wrong, but that your will is in the right place. That's the first way that you love God. Here's the second. Make a decision to know and to repeat to yourself many times a day, God only wants your good. God only wants what's good in all things, no matter how they might seem. Most people think of God as a threat to their good. Very much like Adam did back in the Garden of Eden. You know, the evil spirit came and tempted Adam and tempted Eve. And, you know, did God really tell you that you couldn't eat that fruit? Did he really tell you that you would die? Oh, no, you won't die. God wants to hold you down. God wants to keep you back from everything that will really fulfill you. What you need to do to really find fulfillment is to disobey God's commands. Think of God as a threat to your good. Or the prodigal son. It's another great example of this. Father, give me what's coming to me. You who stand between me and what's good, get out of my way. Very often we live our whole lives treating God like he's a threat to what's good. Choose to believe. Choose it, even if you don't feel it. No matter what it might be, God only wills your good. This will help you in many ways. It'll help you to bounce back after a fall. Okay. It'll help you to do as Padre Pio once said, hate your faults, but hate them calmly. Sometimes they get so bent out of shape. I'm so terrible. I'm so this. I'm the worst. No, actually, stop flattering yourself. You're not the worst, okay? You're not. Be calm about it. There I go again. What do I expect from myself? I'm nothing but a spiritual soap bubble. I'm nothing but a moral piece of peanut brittle. Of course I'm going to break, you know? I know me well enough to know that. But you remember that when you remember God's gentleness and goodness. It helps you to judge this world by the yardstick of God's values and not to do as many other people do in our own time, judge God by the yardstick of this world's values. Okay, that's the second way. Remember, choose to remember, God only wants your good. Here's the third. Remember that no matter how things appear, you can always choose deliberate faith. I love to remember Holy Saturday. It might be my favorite spiritual day of the year. When the one you followed is dead in a tomb. I mean, come on, give up. It's over now. Don't you realize there's no hope? There was a lot of deliberate choosing of faith on Holy Saturday. And I think that that is one of the great things the Blessed Mother can do for us. Holy Saturday is traditionally remembered as her day. She who knew that God would triumph, and she didn't know how. We can choose that same faith too. We can choose to believe that Christ's resurrection is a victory so complete that it can never be minimized. It can never be reversed, ever. Saints chose it, and we can choose it too. It's how they stayed joyful in spite of their sufferings. It's how they looked to God and were radiant with joy. Remember this, faith like that is the love of God. That's the third way that you can love God. And here's the fourth. This one comes from Catherine of Siena. Catherine of Siena, one of her greatest insights into the love of God is to realize you can't love God until you first know how much you've already been loved. When you realize how much you've been loved, then you'll love God. One thing I think is important as a corollary to that idea is to remember, don't wait for that to be a feeling. Choose it right now. Just choose it, whether you feel it or not. Don't give in to the poor me pity party by which you think God's forgotten me. Just don't even open the door a crack to that kind of thinking. Choose to believe how much you've been loved. And you have. Just stop and think about it. I mean, you didn't have to exist right now, you know? God willed you into existence. And he did because he thought you'd like it. You say, why? God doesn't need us. God doesn't. He's already perfectly glorified. He's perfectly content being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why did he make us? Why did he make the world? It's a tough question, but the simplest answer I suppose you could say is, you know, he thought you'd like it. I knew a lady once, you know, she loved colors. And I would ask, why do you love colors so much? She goes, because God didn't have to make colors. He did that on purpose. You know, he didn't have to make blue so cool and red so warm and yellow so cheerful. He chose to make a world with those colors in it. And she couldn't help but see a color and not remember that God loved her. That's how you choose it. Remember that God's mercy isn't something that you deserve. I was on this retreat once, and that was the theme of the retreat. God's mercy belongs to those who do not deserve it. So, you know, you sin and you're given all the graces in the world and you slip and you fall on your face, and God still loves you. He loves you the same before you sin, while you sin, and after you sin, believe it or not. Right? The word for God's love, one of the words for God's love in the Old Testament is hesed. And it's mercy and love that you can't deserve, that you can't lose. It's like the ground you stand on. It's just there. Choose it. Don't give yourself the sweet luxury of allowing yourself to think that God's forgotten you, doesn't love. Not even an inch. Choose to remember how much you've been loved. And that's choosing to love God. Four ways you can love God. Okay? Four ways you can love God. Back when I was in the monastery, one of the talks I went to, I'll never forget it. He said, this is how God advances and perfects your soul. He does it in three ways. You grow spiritually when your faith, your love, and your hope are purified. That's how you grow closer to God. And the only way that God purifies your faith, your hope, and your love is by testing them. He doesn't purify them by comforting and coddling them. But he purifies you by taking your faith and making you believe, bringing you to a point where you feel like you have to choose to believe, even though you don't feel like there's anything left to believe or to have hope. I'm going to choose to have hope, even though I don't feel like there's anything left to hope for. Or I'm going to choose charity, even when I'm surrounded by people who are not charitable in return. I mean, they say you've never begun to love until you know what it means to love someone who hates you. No exaggeration. Right? That's how you advance. Your faith, your hope, your charity are tested. Until you come to the point where you realize that all you really have is God alone. And when you realize that God alone is all you have, that's when you realize that God alone is enough. St. Catherine of Siena, pray for us.